Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
My name is Anthony Suber. I call myself a visual griot. I'm an artist of many different talents and explorations. I'm a sculptor, a painter. I do all kinds of work with electronics and technology. I have dabbled in all kinds of storytelling, which is why I refer to myself as a griot. I am a candidate for an MFA at HBU, and am, you know, in love with the idea of using art to tell stories. And so one of the really cool things about being at HBU is that, you know, I have, you know, a cohort of excellent artists that I'm surrounded with constantly, and you know, I'm able to converse with and get that dialogue and connection, spiritual connection with, and spend time with. As a working artist, I'm in the community. That's something that I value. And also as a, you know, an artist, you know, one of the things that I always say is that, you know, we have a responsibility of being able to communicate our, you know, our work or through our work in a way that brings others in and creates, you know, dialogue through our generations. And so also within my vocation, I've had I get to do this. I'm a teacher of almost two decades, 15 of which I've been at the Kincaid School here in Houston as a sculptor teacher and graphic design for probably the last, 14 years or 13 years. And before then, I'd been teaching art history and various other things. And so kind of through my connection as a teacher, last year, I had been traveling the United States with two friends of mine. I call them spiritual brothers, Brian Ellison, who's a photographer, and Mr. Marlon Hall, who's an anthropologist, a visual anthropologist, telling the stories of people of color, specifically Black men. And we started a nonprofit called the Black Man Project that operates out of Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. The pandemic has been rough for everyone. I think we would all agree, but the blessing in having, you know, that time to yourself is that you can reflect on things that you can do to improve yourself or to help others. And during that time, after the Black Man Project had to stop traveling due to COVID, I was able to partner with another friend of mine by the name of Josh Hudley to create Other People's Potato Salad, which is a podcast where we talk about culture and art and just things that make us laugh as two men. And so, you know, it's just been a wonderful journey being, you know, an artist who's been able to explore different avenues to express myself. I also consider myself to be fortunate to be the father of two wonderful young ladies by the name of Channing and Ellington Suber. They are, you know, the light of my life. Literally, I know that sounds cliche, but I enjoy being around them and they give me life. And the blessing in seeing them is being able to see the reflection of myself. And I think that they, you know, just they just keep me going. In fact, the my last series of works features them heavily. And so I'm just blessed to be their father. I'm a husband of almost 11 years. And, you know, the journey is something that has also shown me, you know, a reflection of myself. I'm just a proud family man. I love being able to take care of others, which I try to also express through my artwork. So I'm just glad to be able to speak to you all and be able to introduce myself to the community. And yeah, it's great.
Anthony, it's just amazing to hear all the talents that God has gifted and graced you with. How old are your two daughters?
So they are one is in kindergarten. I'm sorry, five. She just made five not too long ago. And then Channing is nine, almost 10.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing more therapeutic than looking at your two daughters. And as you said, I mean, it gives meaning to life and it helps us. I personally think raising children, I looked at them and it was like a medicine to me. You know, it just invigorated me, reminded me. And so congratulations to you and your wife. Now,
thank you.
You've been at Kincaid 15 years. What a renowned school that is in the Houston area. Tell us about the experience teaching sculpturing at Kincaid.
Yeah, so my time at Kincaid actually almost didn't happen. I was actually working as an art teacher with HISD. And, you know, the program that I was working in began to shift. And I had a colleague who was here maybe about 10 years ago, or she's actually retired a little bit longer than then, but she invited me to come visit Kincaid, and our connection actually grew out of it. You know, speaking of, you know, just being a mentor, our connection grew out of, I didn't mention this, I'm an alum of HSPVA here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And she was my printmaking teacher at one point. And, you know, we had stayed in contact. She knew that I was teaching. She invited me to come and visit the campus. I fell in love with it. And, you know, since taking my appointment as a teacher here, it has been wonderful, which is one of the things that has made me stay. They are very supportive of the arts in various ways. I think that anybody who in the community who knows about Kincaid knows that they put their resources behind their teachers so that we are, you know, well supported in various ways. And so it's been fantastic. They, you know, support my career as a working artist. You know, I didn't necessarily see that support when I was working at the previous school. You know, and so I think that they understand the connection between, you know, artists being able to do in the community and, you know, the connections that you make with your students and that inspiration flowing back and forth. And so it's just it's a really wonderful opportunity to be here.
Well, that's awesome. Kudos to Kincaid for having that kind of insight into the arts and the support they provided. Anthony, what was it that drew you to the fine arts department at HBU? I mean, I know some of the leaders there, and I mean, to say they're filled with passion is the understatement of the ages. I mean, it's like they're filled with adrenaline and it never stops. But tell me what drew you and what it's been like.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you should ask that. I'll say it was, you know, really just God. You know, I mean, I would not have been at HBU if it were not for Michael Collins, who has been a tremendous mentor of mine over the years. I actually formally met Michael. I knew of his work, but I formally met him, if you can believe it, showing artwork overseas in Thessaloniki in Greece.
You got to go all the way to Thessaloniki to meet Michael Collins. If
yes. It was. Well, such
why doesn't that surprise me, knowing Michael? I mean,
right.
He could have said yes. Tokyo or the Arctic, and it wouldn't have surprised me.
There you go. I mean, it was such a serendipitous and just a divine appointment that we got a chance to meet. We talked. You know, when I went to Thessaloniki to show work, I had to go by myself. I wasn't able to take my family with me, so I was there for 2 days. Getting ready for this opening at the Macedonian Museum of Contemporary Art. And I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't know anybody there. And Michael and I, you know, here comes Michael. And we talked and we just, you know, it was such a great engagement. And he, you know, at the time was not aware of, you know, my educational background and everything. And as we, you know, spoke and really got to know each other, I revealed to him that I had been interested in, you know, pursuing a master's, but just really didn't have the time, you know, because of my commitment to Kincaid. But then also, I'm already a working artist. And so I I'm already doing commissions and shows and so on and so forth. And so I just didn't see, you know, an opportunity for that to happen for me. But he, you know, kept talking to me, and we met, you know, several times after we got back to the U.S. and, you know, he called me, and really that's where our mentorship began. You know, I'm blessed to have, you know, been able to connect with him in a way that was even outside of kind of the educational, you know, construct. And so, you know, our friendship has grown even since then. And it's just been wonderful.
you know, mentors in our life play such a irreplaceable role. And you have been graced by God to have really one of the best of the best. There's no question. He's an amazing man. You know, I'm intrigued by the Black Man Project. It sounds like such an admirable work that you all have done. Can you tell us more about that and what it signifies in our world today?
Absolutely. I would love to share more about the Black Man Project. So as I you know, kind of mentioned before, we kind of started, we're friends. You know, Marlon, Brian, and myself have been friends for, man, over maybe about 15 years or so. You know, we all went to church together and have done, as Marlon likes to say, we've done life together as brothers. And, you know, we all kind of respected each other's work in our own right. But, you know, Marlon was experiencing some life changes at the time. He was actually experiencing a divorce. And Brian and I, being the friends that we were trying to be there for him the best way that we could. And, you know, Marlon has a background with furniture. His dad is a furniture designer. And, you know, me being a sculptor and Brian being an artist as well, you know, he thought it would be really cool if we got together and built something creative as an offering, if you will, to our friendship and just a way to kind of come together in brotherhood. And so we, you know, made became the first iteration of a dinner table that was crafted from some wood that Marlon had from his grandmother's home in Homer, Louisiana. And, you know, we laughed, we talked, we cried. And what we didn't realize at the time was that we were laying the foundation for what became the work that we would be commissioned to do around the United States. And so from that, you know, conversation and building that table, Marlon began hosting salon dinners where he would invite, almost like, you know, holding court in the Renaissance era. We refer to that a lot when we talk to people. And we get people from all walks of life, you know, all religions, to come together and talk and, you know, just break bread together. And we eventually turned it into an art project that, based on Brian's work for a film that he was doing called The Black Man Project, called Unmasculinity. And, you know, fast forward to last year, or the year before last, we were invited by Google to come out to their campus and host a dinner. And, you know, we used the grant money to start, you know, film production. During that time, I was working on, and I'm still working on a mask series called Unmasculinity. And so through the work that I was doing with the Black Man Project, I was able to craft a series of responsive wearable sculptures. And they were the symbolic representation of what it's like for people of color to navigate certain spaces within our culture. And so we, you know, took that work and traveled. We went to, I believe it was 9 different cities by the time we finished, by the time it was said and done. The beauty in it was that we met a lot of wonderful people. COVID, you know, obviously shut down some of the opportunities that we had going forward, but, you know, it allowed us to turn that work into a nonprofit 501c3, and we've been able to do all kinds of outreach even in the age of COVID. And so we are going strong. You know, we have some plans for next year to do some fundraising so that we can finish the film work and do some more engagements. So it's been wonderful.
You know, Anthony, yesterday I was with a celebrity here in the U.S. who has had a television series for 11 years, and he's most recently engaged with Facebook Watch on an 8 episodic series where someone that's polar opposite of him comes to his family room, mm-hmm. and they have a dialogue, and it's a peaceful dialogue, but they learn to understand each other and their opinions and at least have a respectable conversation. And, you know, I encouraged him before I left his home yesterday. I said, you know, I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. It's just sad to me when I see the anger, the misunderstanding, the name calling. Mm-hmm. And often it's by people who just won't shut their mouth long enough to listen to somebody else and find to build a bridge. I mean, we can agree to disagree, but my goodness, we have to at least listen. And it sounds like to me that the project that you've had, the Black Man Project, has been a tremendous tool to have conversation.
Absolutely.
And to kind of get out of the confines of the camp we're in, to learn about other people. Tell me about what that's been like.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that is the basis really of the project. You know, I started off telling you about the conversation that the three of us had and how that kind of spurred the work that we were doing now. But that is at its core, what it's about is listening. Because one of, you know, Dr. Johnson, one of the things that we discovered kind of in the work that we were doing was the connection or the disconnection really that, you know, people of color had within their communities of access to mental health or spiritual health. And, you know, through listening, through that engagement, we were able to unearth that and start to help people, help guide conversations where people could be reflective in that way. And so, you know, in actuality, you're right. You're right on it. I mean, like it's literally about listening. And, you know, I completely agree with you that when we encounter, you know, people from different walks of life, you know, the truest way to connect and engage with those people is to listen. It's not to try to sell, you know, your way of thinking or to certainly, you know, sway them over to what you think is the right thing or the truth. Is to listen to them first, because, you know, you really can't, I tell my daughter that all the time, you can't really engage someone in conversation even if it's someone from a different walk of life, if you have no idea, you know, what you're engaging with. And so that's really at the core of the project. And then, you know, kind of in response to it is the work that we're doing, you know, the film piece, the architecture of the spaces. One of the other things that I didn't mention was that whenever we have the dinners, you know, our first city was Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, I know you know your history that, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma was the home of the Greenwood Massacre.
Yes.
And the site that we actually used for the dinner was adjacent to a graveyard that they were unearthing, where they believed that there were hundreds of black bodies of black individuals, black Americans who had been killed during the Greenwood Massacre that the city, you know, at that time used as a mass grave, unfortunately. And so we were honored to kind of be a part of the community in that way, because so many people made reference to that during the dinner, that, you know, the fact that symbolically here we are, you know, individuals who are descendants of the oppressed, hosting dinners where people can listen, but also capture, you know, a reliquary, if you will, to further give the community context where they can then listen. And so, no, I completely agree with you on that.
Well, that's beautiful. Now, I'm interested in this new project.
Yeah, so the new project that I'm working on is it's called True North. It's going to be on Heights Esplanade. So if you go down Heights Boulevard, there will be a series of sculptures that are done by Texas sculptors. And it's a wonderful opportunity. We, you know, have been planning, you know, this exhibition for over a year now. And my contribution to it has been, you know, I'll say it's a blessing. My contribution has been an opportunity for me to present another iteration of the idea of connection and conversation. And so my sculpture is called Ancestor. It's basically going to be another mask that is based on the ancient geometric mask that I create as a part of the Unmasculinity Black Man Project. But this time it'll actually be the kind of the in homage of a bird, a cardinal. And so symbolically, you know, some of your listeners, some of your viewers will know that, you know, cardinals, you know, are emblematic of ancestors. And a lot of ancient cultures, you know, certain animals are kind of the representation of that spirit spouse or spiritual ancestor. And so I thought it was an appropriate way to engage the idea of not only conversation for present generations, but also that dialogue with ancient generations. You know, one of the kind of pieces of my work is that African diasporic conversation. And so I pull a lot of that visual vocabulary into the work that I create. And so with this piece, it pulls a lot from that. I have a funny kind of story with that. As I was thinking about what to do for the sculpture, I started drawing, you know, various iterations and drafts of what the sculpture would look like. But the thing that kept popping into my brain was the cardinal. One reason was because At my home, we have an edible arbor outside, and cardinals, for some reason, would just continue to come into the yard. And so every morning when I would go out to greet the day, you know, I was walking the dogs and I would look out and there would be, you know, cardinals in the trees. And I would always joke with my wife and say, you know, that's my grandmother, or that's, you know, that's your grandmother looking after us. And so, you know, it just became evident to me that perhaps God was telling me something, but also from a spiritual standpoint, the most, I guess the most significant symbol that I could capture and utilize for this moment, for this opportunity, was to use that form to create that mask. And so that is my contribution to it. But there are going to be, you know, so many wonderful kind of opportunities for people to engage with the project between the opening is March, the first week of March. And I believe it's slated to come down in December of this year. And so everyone be on the lookout for it. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait. And I'll go up there with my wife and just take the time to look at the beautiful sculptures that I can't imagine how wonderful and what a great, great work. You know, Anthony, when I think about you, I think about what a gift you are to the world. We need people that are infectious to bring healing and help and inspire people. I found there's a lot of people that have no idea their potential because they're so, no one's really helped mentor them out into what they could be. You know, it's something that Michael Collins does extremely well, yeah, you know, in 5 minutes. You are that, and you're a gift to HBU. We're very grateful to you. I want you to just take a moment. There's some people listening that they either are a prospective student or they're a parent of a prospective student or a grandparent of a prospective student. And, you know, the fine arts department of Houston Baptist is nationally renowned, but a lot of people don't realize the hidden gem it really is in the city of Houston. Could you just tell them why they ought to give serious consideration to enrolling at HBU in the fine arts department?
Yeah, I mean, I can sum it up in one word and then try to extrapolate more out of that, but love. You know, one of the common features that you'll find with the faculty and the people that make up this department, the Fine Arts Department at HBU, is that simple word, that idea of love. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, God being love, and the truest manifestation of Him is love. And I truly feel like, you know, my time at HBU, I'm about to graduate this year, but my time that's been here has been a true representation of that love. The people who are there love what they do, and they love on you through the relationship that you have to that department and through the university. And so it is just a fantastic way to improve upon what you're doing. If you're a professional artist, you should be a part of this family. If you are, you know, someone who has just graduated and you're looking for the next stage of what your vocation will be, it is certainly a place where you should be. And so I think, you know, again, going back to that word, I think love is what attracted me and what should attract anybody else looking to come here.
Anthony, we want to keep our eyes on you because we know you're just beginning in your career, and yet you've done so much already, but it's going to be exciting to see what's going to be coming out of you in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, give us just a snapshot of kind of the dreams and aspirations for the future.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I would love to see move forward is, you know, obviously the work with the nonprofit organization that we started, the Black Man Project, but certainly, you know, my wife is a arts administrator, and she works for the Contemporary Arts Museum here in Houston. And we've had dreams for years to further move the needle of education and help the underserved communities here in Houston and beyond. And so, you know, in 5 years or so, I would love to kind of capitalize on what I've been given through the gift of the education that I have and create programs that can help people who, you know, like myself, may not have had the opportunity to see, you know, certain examples of the arts in their communities. And so that is pretty much the goal. I'd love to continue to have dialogues that would, you know, bring people together through my work. I certainly am open to new venues to create work in and through. And so that's what I feel like the next 5 years is going to look like.
Well, promise me you'll keep me on your list and you'll keep me informed about the vision God downloads to you, because I know my wife and I want to be very much a part of it. I mean, yes, you're a very special man. Anthony Suber with us today, completing his Master's of Fine Arts at Houston Baptist University. Keep Anthony on your mind. Go to the Heights, and that begins in March of 2021. Is that correct, Anthony?
That is correct. It's the first week of March, I believe. And I can give you the correct information, but I believe the opening is on the 11th, I believe.
Absolutely. Good. Great. Anthony, thank you for being with us. We're proud of you. Say hi to your wife and to those two wonderful daughters of yours.
I will.
We're going to keep our sights on you. And please keep us informed about what's happening, because we want to promote it. We want to watch you and follow you.
Indeed. Thank you, Dr. Johnson.
Have a great day, man.
Same to you.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.